hurl it a rise, hurl in a sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor.
Thank God I'm a country boy.
So this is a feature that we're going to be doing for a little while, and the idea is I, with the Leadership Santa Rosa, had a chance to spend a day in agriculture, learning about farming in Santa Rosa County, and of course, by comparison, Escambia County as well. And I got a chance to meet a guy named Ryan Jenkins, who owns a farm in Santa Rosa County in the North End, and we just kind of came up with this idea that we would talk about what life on a farm is like, this time on a Monday, 7:35, for a year. I want to give you a chance to know what farming is like, because I think it's fascinating, and it's certainly important. Every time you go to the grocery store, you're depending on farmers. So joining us now, we have Ryan Jenkins. He is the owner of Jenkins Farms in Santa Rosa County. Ryan, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I think you stole my playlist.
I was putting that together the other day thinking, how can I make this funny and entertaining and also give you a pretty robust introduction? I think I did it. You think I did it?
You knocked it out of the park.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
Proud of you.
Outstanding.
It couldn't have been better.
Perfect. Well, let's just kind of start with this. Why don't you tell folks how long you've been farming, you know, and what Jenkins Farms is all about?
Gosh, I've been farming in some capacity for, I guess, almost all of my life. But we own a farm at Jay. It's a family farm. It's me and my dad and my sons. We farm peanuts, cotton, corn, soybeans, wheat, and oats. So we have something going year-round. Very busy, but very proud of the family farm aspect of it. My great-grandfather moved down here and bought the land, some of the land that we're farming in 1918, so it's been going for a while now. I'll be fourth generation, and my sons are of course fifth generation. So I think it's a pretty cool thing, a pretty neat thing, and actually I'm proud of what we do, and I'm thankful for you letting us share our story with your listeners.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's something that I think a lot of folks, let's say city folks, but a lot of folks just go to the store, you know, every couple of days and think nothing about where the food comes from. I mean, that's one of the great things about our society is you don't have to, but there are certain consequences when nobody understands where their food came from. And, you know, when we met and talked about some of the issues facing the modern farmer, especially in Santa Rosa County, I just knew we had to do something together. So you've been doing this, your family has been doing this for a little over 100 years. How many acres do you guys farm?
Roughly right now we're around 2,000 acres.
And of that, like, how much do you personally own as opposed to how much do you farm on rent?
Very little. The biggest majority, I think if you polled all the farmers in our area, as far as that goes, all across the country, I'm thinking that probably what is actually owned that the farmer can actually control is probably 25 or 30% of the total acres that they farm. The largest majority of farmland for a producer is rented land.
One of the questions I got asked last week, and I wanted to just follow up with you, is somebody said that they thought they had read maybe that peanuts grown here were used as seed crop for other peanut farming elsewhere. Is that true?
We're known for the quality of our peanuts. There's not a lot of dirt in them. You know, they don't have to be cleaned. They're the buyers really like to get our peanuts. So used to, we did do a lot of seed. A lot of the seed came from this area, came from Santa Rosa County. Now, you know, so many people have gotten involved in making their own seed and things like that to where it's not as big of a piece of pie as it used to be. But there still are seed grown in this area. Yeah.
Okay. You know, one of the things you and I talked about previously was that you need certain conditions, like at a certain point you need more rain, at a certain point you need less rain. You and I had talked about the peanuts running into the problem that it was basically, and pardon me if I get it wrong because I'm still learning all this stuff, it was so dry that you couldn't even dig them up effectively out of the ground. You don't want it to be too wet once you've got them up, but you do need it a little bit moist to be flexible enough to get them up. Have things come through the right way, or have you not gotten the rain you needed?
We're still having a lot of difficulty with that. I know they're calling for a chance of rain Wednesday and Thursday. So we're down to digging our, we're we like one field being done digging for the year. And since there's that chance of rain, it's a very, the soil there is very, it's got a lot of clay in it. So it's harder to dig than a field that has a lot of sand in it that would be softer. So I'm going to wait and see if we can catch a rain on that before we try to dig it, since we're only a couple of days away.
How big is that? You say one field, and I'm like, what, a quarter acre? I mean, like, one field is how much?
Well, they all vary. I mean, they're from almost nothing to 200 or 300 acres. But this particular field that I like is 60 acres.
60 acres. Okay, so a substantial amount of peanuts still yet to be even turned up out of the ground. Go ahead. You were saying you've kind of gotten what you needed.
Yeah, so we're going to wait since there's a chance of rain and see. Otherwise, if we miss that rain Wednesday, we'll go ahead and dig them and be done with digging for the year, which I know is weird. It's like you can't wait for peanut season or whatever season. That's one of the neat things about farming, whatever it is. You can't wait for it to get here. We'll talk about peanut season. Can't wait for it to get here. The beginning, you're so excited. Everybody in town is talking. When are you going to start digging? You know, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's happy and excited. Then you get in the middle of it, in the grind part of it, where it's like, I'm ready to get done with this and move on to something else. And then we're down to the last field, and it's like, wow, it's already almost gone. And you're excited about it ending, but you're also down and out about it ending because you know it's going to be a whole other year before you're able to do it. So it's a weird deal for a farmer. We're just weird anyway. We can never be happy.
The kid inside of me now wants to ask you this question. Have you ever on purpose pulled a wheel in a tractor? Be honest, come on.
Oh, absolutely. I'll pull a wheelie on anything that'll pull a wheelie.
My whole picture of you, I've been talking to you for a year, and my entire picture of you has changed. Like, I now have, like, pictures of Ryan hooping and hollering as he's, you know, driving down the field on two wheels. You know, like, that's Frank. I mean, like, you know, that's kind of my picture. So, oh, my God, that's hilarious. Hey,
there's a big part of me that likes to have fun. I can tell you, I'm just trying to be Mr. Serious when I'm talking to you on the radio.
Well, you concealed it good for 51 weeks, you know, and then, all right, so let's talk about some of, because there's big issues facing farming. One of the big issues, and we've talked about this a couple times, but is that next generation of farming, they're not there. Like, the young farmers that are supposed to be taken over from you as you get to retire in a few years, that generation is not picking up the farming. What do we do about this?
I don't know. That's a very tough question. I think that a lot of the newer generation, you know, doesn't really want to work that hard out in the elements. I mean, sure, there are a lot of people that do, but there's a lot of people that don't. And I think, too, a lot of, in all honesty, a lot of farmers don't really want their kids to be farmers because of all the struggles that they go through. And most of them, the struggles we're talking about are financial struggles.
Yeah.
Raising a kid, there's no better way to raise a kid than on a farm. But you don't want them to not have financial stability. And a lot of times farming doesn't bring financial stability.
Wow.
And I don't know that will ever change. It's not that the farmer doesn't want their kid to be a farmer because of the work, or because of being outside in nature all day, or, you know, having to work hard. It's they're worried about financial stability, in all honesty. So that's it's hard to overcome. There's been so many people I've talked to that grew up on a farm that would love to farm, and their parents said, you go get you a real job, you go get you a college degree, you're not doing this. Admit it. So, I mean, you know, we're fighting that, and until we can make it a better financial picture for agriculture for years on end, I don't think that I think we're going to always have a problem with it.
Aside from the issue of getting that next generation of farmers to just be farmers, the other challenge that you and I have talked about sometimes is the moving of land from agriculture into particularly residential, right? You know, we're building on everything we used to farm on. And you had talked previously about the need to increase yields as population grows, which, of course, that makes sense. But do you see the threat to agriculture from sprawl and development, or is that something that people say, but it's not really that big of a challenge in the overall picture? You tell me.
It's a huge threat. I would say it's the biggest threat. Urban sprawl is real. Even in our little neck of the woods here, it's decimating the farmland. And what people don't understand is, there's a few things people don't understand. Number one, and we'll be quick about it, most people think that farmers own all the land that they farm, and we've talked about that. It's probably, on the average, 25% or so or less of the land farmed that a farmer farms is owned by them. Most of it is rented property from other landowners, so they don't have the true control to say, no, I don't want to sell that piece of land. So that's why land changes hands so fast. You know, an older retired farmer dies, leaves land to his children. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They see a big payday, they sell it, and then that farmland is gone. And then the other part of that is, not only are we losing the land, but the people that are buying the land and moving out of the cities, they're not ag. A lot of them are not ag friendly. They don't understand farming. They don't understand agriculture. So it makes it harder for us to do our job and do it as efficiently as we'd like. So there's a lot of problems with it. Of course, I would love to say, let's keep everything exactly the way it is from here on out. We can't do that. I also, in the same breath, don't want to say that I can tell you what you can and can't do with your land.
Sure.
I don't want to be told what I can and can't do with mine. So, you know, it's a very slippery slope, and we're in a difficult time right now, because now more than ever, people are moving from the city into the country. Everybody wants to buy 5 or 10 acres and develop it, and there you go. You know, we just the land's going away, and we don't have any control or any plan or anything to try to make this thing work. And it's not something that's going to be detrimental to us overnight, but in 50 years from now, when we can't go undo it and people are hungry and don't have clothes on their back, they might think back to our little radio show. You know what I mean?
I understand that, you know, like if land is going up in price as it is, then the opportunity for somebody who rents to a farmer to say, well, I need to raise your rent, or I might sell the land because it's a big discrepancy how much more money I could make, or they pass away and their kids want to sell the land off. And so, the input prices of doing what you do go, I get it. I mean, you know, what I want to see is our legislators get this, too. And it's part of the reason I wanted to do this series is I want them to get this and understand the significance of it, so that if there is wise legislation to be done, I want them to be in a position to do it. Well, Ryan, it has been a great year talking to you. We will talk to you again, first Monday of the month. We're going to continue talking to Ryan Jenkins. But Ryan, as I've said many times, thank you for feeding and clothing my kids. Thank you for what you do. I really appreciate the information you've given us this year.
Well, thank you so, so much for having us. I got one little quick farming fact.
Oh, yeah, go on.
I'll drive in on what you're doing. 25% of all farmers are beginning farmers, and that means they've been in the business less than 10 years. And their average age is 46 years old for a beginning farmer. So.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's not young. Wow.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they're already half wore out when they begin.
And they don't even probably know how to pop a wheelie. Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms in Jay, Florida. We check in with him every week. Ryan, as always, man, thanks for feeding and clothing my kids and for reminding people to be safe while the other people who help you do that job are driving on the roads. I appreciate that note, sir.
Well, thank you so much, and I hope you all have a great week.